Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Time for a little historically speaking, because you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. And that's all the more true in this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, celebrating all year long with a number of things, including the It's Still All About Jesus. You can read about that. It's a LCMS, I don't want to call it a program, that's really, it's a movement. You can find out about that at LutheranReformation.org. All sorts of resources for you and your congregation to learn more about and celebrate the Reformation. And there you will find a series of Bible studies called Faces of the Reformation. These have been produced by the Concordia Historical Institute, CHI. And I got,
Harmalink.
I tell you, I want to call you Dan.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you today?
Hi, Dan. I'm well.
Let me get you a business card.
Jeez, I don't want to waste our time with a story, but I was an associate pastor at a large church. So we have a senior pastor, and one morning in the line, I forgot my boss's wife's first name. I saw her every day. She was a secretary in the church. I literally, because I was trying so hard to remember names, it just fell out the other ear, basically, and I lost it. One of the most embarrassing things. Now the whole
world
knows about
it. And she never forgave you.
Probably.
For that.
And that's how I feel you must be feeling about me. But what I'm going to let you do, because it's good stuff, is talk about this Faces of the Reformation that you've put together as a boon to the church to use to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And today's focal point is one of my favorite guys, historically speaking, Frederick the Wise.
Right. So we, you know, again, everyone applauds Luther on this 500th anniversary of the Reformation. But again, are we deepening our understanding of God's grace and mercy as reflected in the history of the Reformation? So I would encourage everyone listening to not just attend a Reformation Day service on October 31st and sing A Mighty Fortress and then say, okay, I'm done for another 100 years, but or another 50 years, right? But take time to get to know the history, dig more deeply into the history of the Reformation. And again, these sinner saints who were used by God, despite all their foibles, to rediscover something that was lost, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right, that's what made these guys, you know, the faces of the Reformation that they are. And the most stunning thing that I have learned from their history is because the world wants to say this was a political movement. The world wants to say this was a technological movement. It wants to give us all these sources for the Reformation, but these guys believe this stuff. And as Lutherans today, the question is, well, am I a Lutheran because of what we believe, or am I a Lutheran just because I was born into it? Mm-hmm. And that's an important question. If we're worried about the future of the Lutheran Church, if we're worried about congregations that are smaller than they used to be, well, do we have a reason to be here? Do we remember why we're here in the first place? And these stories is a way to find that. His story, really a conversion story, is just beautiful.
All right. So today I'd like to talk about Frederick the Wise, in the face of the Reformation, we title him Lutheran Prince and Protector. And so this is, he's a protector of he kidnapped Luther. So, let's begin with a legend. It's a legend about Frederick the Wise had a dream the night of October 30th, 1517.
Yeah, right. The night before Luther does his thing.
Night before. So it goes like this. The elector dreamed that God had sent him a theologian after the Apostle Paul. This monk asked Frederick for permission to write on the door of the castle church in Wittenberg. After receiving permission, the monk began to write in such large characters that Frederick could read the writing at his residence that was almost 30 miles from Wittenberg. The pen he used was so large that its end reached as far as Rome, where it pierced the ears of a crouching lion. Again, that's a reference to the Roman Emperor, right? Hmm. The Holy Roman Empire. And caused the tiara on the Pope to begin to topple. All the princes of the empire attempted to break the pen, but the more they tried, the stronger it became. Then Frederick asked the monk where this pen had come from. The pen, he replied, belonged to a 100-year-old goose in Bohemia.
Oh, it was John Huss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the guy who tried to translate the Bible and got burned at the stake for doing so.
It did not go well with Jan Hus.
No, it did not. It was another good but terrifying story.
So the contrast, Jan Hus's elector or prince basically allowed him to be handed over to the authorities and burned alive at the stake. And we see, by God's grace, Frederick the Wise, even though he had every reason to silence Luther because of God's word, realized, this is the way of truth.
Right.
And basically protected Luther from outlaw Luther that Rome had said, anyone that kills this guy is doing a great work.
Yeah, after the Diet of Worms, he's an outlaw. He can be killed by anybody. And again, Frederick is the one who kidnaps him and puts him in that tower where he ends up translating the Bible. But you mentioned he doesn't have good reasons to want to let Luther do what he's doing. What's Luther doing? He's destroying. He's destroying indulgences, and with that, this idea of relics. And why would this guy maybe care a lot about relics?
Yeah, Frederick the Wise had about over 5,000 reasons not to support Luther. He was not only building what he wanted a great university, but he also he was intent on building a collection of relics that would be second to none. So not only did the Castle Church in Wittenberg have 20 side altars in which, you know, this worship of the saints was going on endlessly. Not only Tetzel was selling indulgences, but you could get an indulgence for viewing these relics. Some were on permanent display, and then Frederick the Wise, again, this is before Luther, right, got permission from the Pope to have special feast days where the indulgence or your time off purgatory would be, you know, doubled if you saw these relics. So there were over 5,000 of these relics that were on display. And again, you know, the idea, Frederick the Wise's understanding is viewing these, worshiping these, would get you, hundreds of years off.
Oh, and
purgatory.
this was pretty shrewd too. I mean, maybe he really believes this stuff and it's for him, but, this is going to turn Wittenberg into
it's a tourist.
Into a major tourist. The pilgrimage idea. This is an economic move. He has more than 5,000 reasons to not like what Luther's doing. He's got, you know, a endless hoard of riches that he gives up.
So even in the time of Luther, you know, Wittenberg was the most famous little town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, right.
So it's a big task, and Frederick the Wise, fortunately. It's interesting that we say this in the Faces of the Reformation material, that there's questions as far as whether Frederick the Wise ever saw Luther face to face.
Really?
So
all the movies.
So they operated at arm's length. Yeah, the movie. What, the movie?
That's where I get my history. Isn't that where you get your history?
Shame on you. Shame on you. But, yeah, well, it looks good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, again, the understanding is that Frederick the Wise, for good reason, wanted to keep Luther at arm's length.
Hmm.
You know, it was Frederick the Wise who was also a candidate for the
emperor, right?
Yeah, the position that Charles V received.
Right.
So he didn't want to show all his cards. And so they had an understanding, but I think they used go-betweens to communicate. And again, if Frederick the Wise would have felt threatened or said, hey, you're upsetting my dream to make Wittenberg into a big show place for good works.
Yeah, I mean, the seat of the empire,
Luther would have been gone in a day.
Yeah. So is it just apocryphal from the movies then that Luther gives him one of the first copies of the translated scriptures? Or is that real stuff? Not necessarily, like, hand it in, but
I don't know where the evidence is for that.
Okay. Okay. Well, so maybe point to, there is a book of evidence that you brought in to kind of show us.
I think it was last year, the year before, a book by Concordia Publishing House came out. It's called Frederick the Wise: Seen and Unseen Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. So I guess, you know, on Frederick the Wise's on his business card, he could be, you know, kidnapper, but more importantly, he's Luther's protector, and not just Luther's protector, but protector of the doctrines that Luther was rediscovering and broadcasting throughout Europe.
And father of another fairly famous name that people might know, John the Steadfast.
John the Steadfast. So it's interesting that Frederick the Wise dies fairly after. Fairly soon after the posting of the 95 Theses. So unfortunately, Frederick the Wise did not see the full fruits of the Reformation. But, without his help, Luther would have been toast.
Yeah. And then his son becomes quite faithful and does something with Dad's inheritance, right? Those relics.
Right. So I always wondered what happened to these over 5,000 relics. I mean, they were in gold and silver containers. I mean, you know, they spared no expense. So what happens when Luther comes out and basically says this is the work of the devil to be worshiping these relics? Luther even publishes this kind of fake list of relics, as far as, you know, a feather from the Holy Spirit and
all
that stuff. So what happened to them? Frederick the Wise, as far as we can tell, did not put them on eBay. John the Steadfast basically melted it all down.
Yeah.
To use, because again, John the Steadfast, war broke out.
Huh.
You know, money was needed to fund basically an army to protect the citizens of Saxony. So the only surviving relic is a glass used by Elizabeth of Thuringia, or Elizabeth of Hungary, whose history is connected to the Wartburg Castle. But only one out of thousands of these relics survives today. It's quite a story.
Yeah, right. And I mean, you could say, well, you know, why didn't he melt the silver and the gold down and then throw it all away? Well, he just treated the silver and gold like what it was worth. It was silver and gold. You can use money, right? The question is whether or not you're setting up idols and worshiping, which certainly a reliquary does.
So John the Steadfast, maybe he washed his hands after he did that. But
guest, Dr. Daniel Harmelink. Should we call you Dr. Harmelink the Studious? Would you like that as your title? Or would you prefer a different title?
No, the Balding.
The Balding of Concordia Historical Institute here on Historically Speaking, helping you know where you're going by knowing where you've been. Bible study, Luther's Prince and Protector, about Frederick the Wise, part of the Faces of the Reformation series. You can find that at LutheranReformation.org, where this interview also should at some point be to kind of be connected
to
that.
Check out our exhibit on the campus of Concordia Seminary, pressed into service by the Word of God. Again, a look at the Reformation. Come and deepen your understanding of the Reformation and God's grace in that.
Amen to that. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide. You're listening to His Time. Am I awake this morning, Dr. Herman? Like, I don't know. But I know this, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's coming back. And while it may not be today or tomorrow, I am going to wake up with you at the dawn.